You're not at work, right?
No, it's a company holiday of sorts. I'll put in some hours, I'm sure, but my only job today is to watch 2-6-6, 3-5 football teams bust out the lubricant and see what happens.
This is so, like, the worst. This is not... Like, I just agreed with Corso. That's how bad this is. When he said, these two teams shouldn't be there. And I'm like, right.
It's like some of the most curmudgeonly, young dudes that wish they were old dude media types on Twitter and whatnot have been saying something similar. And I feel embarrassed for agreeing, but... these teams, like, I don't mind them playing a bowl game, but it feels like it should have been 2 weeks ago,
This really should have been, like, were it not for the conference tie-ins, if we just were free-floating this, right, unaligned, if we were in an unaligned world, this would have been the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl.
Yeah, put the names Northwestern and Mississippi State on these two teams, and they're playing, like, December 23rd.
Yeah, this really should have taken place pre-Christmas. That's how bad this is, but I don't even want to watch it.
I forgot until yesterday about 7:00. I was actually at the Wizards and Celtics game, which was probably equal entertainment value as this football game is going to be, and was just like, oh yeah, there's a game tomorrow and Ohio State's playing in it.
Yeah, and you have to watch it, because that's the other thing, is that by creed, you have to watch this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not, like, remotely excited about it, and it's just kind of something that's going to happen, and whether I like it or not is going to reflect on the 2011 season, which already is, in such high regard in my heart and mind. But, yeah, it's happening, and, Florida wins, the narrative will just be Ohio State can't beat the SEC still, and if Ohio State wins, it's a rebuilding year for Florida, and they cheated anyway.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'll mention the cheating. That's how bad Florida. that's how inept this entire operation has been all year long. My favorite quote being Mark Long of the AP tweeting out something where the stat guys said, "Hey, do you have any? Did your team set any records?" And the response from Gator PR was, "We haven't had a record-breaking season."
Yeah, I think Florida is 102nd nationally in total yards, and Ohio State is 107th.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is like, Western Kentucky 2010 against, I don't even know, we'll go with like the last year of Todd Dodge at North Texas. That might even be too generous, though. That offense was probably too good. So like New Mexico State 2010 or something like that.
There is one positive. Charlie Weiss will not be calling plays for us. That fat piece of shit, just that worthless slice of humanity, that absolute slab of completely utility-free walrus scrotum. Just the jackass of all jackasses. God, I fucking hate that man.
Yeah, the thing is, Brian White is he was part of those Wisconsin teams when he was offensive coordinator under Barry Alvarez that just really had Ohio State's number. They Jim Tressel like never beat Barry Alvarez, and Brooks Bollinger, John Stocko, that era of quarterback play, they'll get in the I form and they'll shove it down Ohio State's throat potentially.
Yeah, no. See, they had those like 330-pound morbidly obese Wisconsin offensive lines.
Hey man, you don't think they've been feeding Chris Rainey and Jeff Demps?
No. They have not been feeding them. They don't deserve food. None of them do. That's, I'm not really a fan of the lordly power that our schools hold over our dear student athletes. But if they said, "Hey, I'm sorry, we're not giving them any food for 2 weeks for the way they played,"
Urban has
a really unfair part of me would go, "Yeah, man, starve those bastards."
Urban had the Champions Club where, like, the guys that weren't a part of it had to eat, like, hot dogs or something like that were boiled in a pot. Well, like, in Florida, like, that's the new Champions Club. You get hot dogs, but if you're not part of it, you just don't even eat.
You just don't eat. They just give you lichen and bricks. Make it work. Hope you guys enjoyed the Stalingrad salad.
It's like the, the guy that's, like, being held as a prisoner of war in, like, Afghanistan. Like, they just starve him for, like, 10 days, and then they shove under, like, expired dates or something under the door, and you just eat them because that's all you can get.
It's just horrible. And our defense is good, but they're also young and wildly undisciplined. So even if we manage to contain Braxton Miller, they'll probably put a helmet in his back while he's laying on the ground 5 yards out of bounds, and then you guys will get another first down. This is going to be this game will be an argument against not only 6-6 bowl teams, not only the bowl system itself. It may be an argument against football itself. Can we talk about the Ticket City Bowl?
Let's talk about some. Speaking of, you know, offensive explosions, anytime a game is actually taking place, and you know, not in Jerry World, but in the actual Cotton Bowl. You know that you have potential for quality that can only match that fine stadium's confines. You know, it's a football game.
that it is.
More so, at least, than what's going on in Jacksonville. I think Houston, obviously, all things equal, would certainly be a team that you'd expect to just kind of put it on Penn State, especially given all their distractions. Penn State's defense, though, you know, when focused, is probably tailor-made, you know, even more so than Southern Miss's was to give Houston fits, though. So, I think Houston's like 7.5-point favorites or something like that.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, I could see this game somehow, you know, Penn State somehow staying in. And Matt McGloin being out, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the absence of Matt McGloin may mean bad things for the Nittany Lions.
This is really the battle of a team with absolutely no offense versus a team with absolutely no defense. And I really think Penn State's going to win. And that's because I don't think Case Keenum's going to have time or open space to throw. That's not going to happen. And the coaching turnover, I know they went in-house, but at the same time, you know, you're still missing Kevin Sumlin. You're still missing, you know, a piece from that staff. So, I don't know. I don't see Houston. This won't be the, oh man, maybe Houston should have been in the Sugar Bowl argument. I sort of see this as like, oh my God, we watched that 10-3 game.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah, I can see Case Keenum, you know, he inexplicably once a year has that like 2-3 pick contest. I can see this being that one.
Yeah, but usually that 3 picks is balanced out by like 8 touchdowns against a crap team. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I'm just mostly really excited that, you know, Curtis Drake, who unfortunately didn't make the trip as a result of, you know, cold clocking and concussing Matt McGloin, has given us so much material for just, you know, Drake-related puns. You know, YOLO, right? Rick Ross.
Oh! Whoa. I really wish that a Houston rapper was singing the theme. That was the one thing I wanted out of a Houston bowl game.
I think it's actually in Dallas, but we can have.
No. I'm going back to yesterday. I'm still just mourning I'm mourning the absolute loss of, you know, Paul Wall attempting to sing the national anthem.
Houston's in the game, though. I mean, we can bus up some Houston rappers, and you know, we could have Chameleon Air and Zero, and we could, like, you know, we could still have you know, Bun B kind of repping for PAT, and you know, I'm sure he's down with Case Keenum.
Can we bring over Bun B? Because Bun B, I sort of think, by the way, Bun B would probably be an awesome assistant coach on a football staff.
Oh yeah, I don't see any reason why not. I mean, he's at least as qualified as you know, Levine, the dude that, you know, Tony Levine, who's taking over as Houston's next head coach to follow Sumlin.
He's at least as qualified as Bill O'Brien. Bun B for Penn State. Bun B for Penn State's new head coach.
Yeah, man. There's no way they wouldn't. You'd think that guy going into homes isn't going to be able to get kids from, like, you know, urban areas in the Midwest. Like, you think if Bun B goes to Cleveland, he's like, look, you can go play for Urban Meyer or you can play for Bun B.
Baby, you've been right, Paterno. Time to get down with the B. That's what this is about. When he just walks up to a recruit and puts a mink coat on him.
Oh yeah.
how you like that, huh?
I'm pretty sure there's a Bun B song called "Sext Me," and that's probably like his recruiting. He's just like, "Yo, sext me." That's like the text that he sends out in bulk.
I'm glad we talked about this bowl game. I think the Capital One Bowl. Now, Nebraska versus South Carolina. This is in my early lead of most unwatchable game of the day.
Oh God, this is just going to be, you know, so hideous. I think it's going to be like Nebraska's offense in that first half when they let Ohio State get that big lead. They're going to be like that, and then South Carolina is just going to be like South Carolina always is.
Yeah, this is two teams, by the way, that have difficulty playing more than two quarters of good football in a row. really. Like, South Carolina has not been, they've had actually a really good season considering they lost Marcus Lattimore and Steven Garcia to different things.
Right.
Right, very, very different things. One injury, the other, Steven Garcia.
Yeah, Steven Garcia is out with Steven Garcia. Now, if you want to see anything in like in a nutshell with what the South Carolina offense brings to the table, just look at Alshon Jeffrey, like how talented that guy is, like built like a NFL superstar in the making. He has 7 touchdown receptions.
Yeah.
Seven.
That's what Connor Shaw has brought. He's brought the quarterback sweep. That's about it. Quarterback sweep, quarterback dive. He gives. And sometimes he throws, and that typically doesn't go well, even when you're tossing things up to a fat and unmotivated Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I can't explain, by the way. Alshon Jeffrey's one of those guys. He only gets fat right in his gut.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, as opposed to the fun and gun, this is just like the gun offense where, you know, you have a gun in your mouth. Yeah.
In Nebraska, by the way, too, this is one very good defense, and I think one kind of good defense. I think Nebraska's defense.
Yeah, Nebraska's one of those defenses that, you know, you think is good just because they're Nebraska,
right,
but it's not as good, certainly, as a year or two ago.
They're oversold on defense, certainly, and I think South Carolina's probably undersold since that is the heart and soul of their team.
Right.
They really don't have a whole lot going on besides that, and if you really want to see what is going to make the difference for South Carolina in this game, it's going to be how their defensive line operates against the Nebraska offense, because you have Melvin Ingram there, you have Jadeveon Clowney, you can't block both of them on either play. I mean, that's a very simple reduction as to how this shakes out, but Melvin Ingram's amazing. He really is. He is probably the least talked about freakish athlete in college football.
Yeah, and the even crazier thing is that like the guy that, you know, he helps enable is going to be probably better in a couple years.
Yeah, he will be. And remember too, Melvin Ingram scored on a fake punt. So
right.
Look for that again, because Spurrier likes to just be a smart ass like that.
At the same time though, he does love to just completely mail in bowl games, as you probably, you know pretty well, right?
Spotty. It's very spotty. Spurrier in bowl games. If he's motivated, you're gonna die. And if he's not motivated, the team's
you're gonna
not
die.
Motivated and they're gonna die. Yeah, it goes really, really. There's no predicting how either of these turn out, right? Because Nebraska's done the same thing. They lost to Washington and Jake Locker's last game.
Yeah,
and then came out and put on one of the more airtight bowl performances in recent years in demolishing an Arizona team in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, it's tough to say. If Bo Pelini cares, you know, they'll certainly. It's the same thing. Maybe these two teams are maybe cut from a more similar cloth than we give them credit for.
Well, Carl Pelini's gone too. So if you want to the HR, I'm always a big fan of the HR headlines here.
Sure.
Yeah, Carl Pelini's been out due to the fact that he took the FAU job, where he's undoubtedly recruiting attractive secretaries right now.
I'm sure that's all he's doing.
The other game of interest in the early shift that we should look at is the Outback Bowl, which
doesn't this seem like a Capital One Bowl, like this matchup? I mean,
well,
I think these teams are probably both better than the teams that are in the Capital One Bowl.
I think that's because bits of Michigan State are still actually in the Capital One Bowl turf.
Yeah, very possible.
From last year, which if you want an example of race in B class when you should have been in A class, Alabama should have never been in that game. They should have never had 3 losses. Remember that offense had Julio Jones, Ingram, and oh my goodness, it's already slipped my mind. I've already like taken him off the roster.
Trent Richardson,
Greg McElroy, along with Trent Richardson. But the first thing, by the way, that popped in my mind was literate ginger. Who is the literate ginger? Greg McElroy. But yeah, they had those 3. But remember, talent on offense doesn't equal anything for Alabama ever, because they're all because they hate scoring points, offense, and fun. They appear in this game, Michigan State does, against Georgia, which this is – I'm actually excited for this matchup, and I have no idea how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, Michigan State looked – you know, Mark D'Antonio turned out really all the stops against Wisconsin. And besides that, you know, suspect roughing the punter penalty at the end, I mean, they very well could have won the Big Ten title and been in Pasadena right now. The thing is, it seems like every year Michigan State feels a little bit snubbed, a little bit let down, and then subsequently they play like it in their bowl. So, you know, we've seen Georgia, you know, being ripe for the taking against Boise, and we've seen them, you know, kind of play a lot more focused when need be. It's tough to say what Georgia team we're getting too, since, you know, they can certainly come in any different, you know, direction. They lost to South Carolina in a shootout. They got absolutely, you know, they got their ish handed to them by LSU, but they can be focused too. You know, they smoked Auburn, and, you know, they played tough against a Georgia Tech team that can occasionally have a pulse. Then again, Utah, maybe we shouldn't be giving them any credit for that. But yeah, I think Georgia is obviously more talented, but Michigan State has shown un-D'Antonio-like tendencies this season. So I kind of, for some reason, feel good about them, which probably means they're going to lose by 21 points. So
yeah, this is, by the way, also a team that had some very bad losses when they had losses. And they beat some really, really shitty teams on the way to 10 wins. They did. They beat Central Michigan. They beat a toothless Ohio State team. And if you watch that game, by the way, almost gave it up. Kirk Cousins threw some brain dead passes in that game, and a couple that should have been picked.
Yeah, that was an absolutely just horrible epitome of bad Big Ten stereotype football contest. I will give them credit that they absolutely shut down Michigan's offense, which very few people had a, you know, success at doing. They did, you know, the loss to Nebraska was also just absolutely hideous, but
inexcusable, really.
They lost to Notre Dame.
They got blown out by Notre Dame, 31-13. There's really one thing in this. All right, there's two things in this game that can really, of like, turn the game for the Spartans. Otherwise, I think Georgia wins by 10. And the thing that can turn it is, one, can Gerald Worthy demolish the interior of Georgia's offensive line? That's one. Because if he has a massive game, then they win. I mean, he's capable of disrupting their entire blocking scheme, no?
Yeah, he's an absolute beast.
Yeah, he's insane, too. Which is another reason to like him. That
Michigan State does have a couple of those like absolutely crazy dudes. I mean, Golston too, William Golston. Like, he's certainly pretty talented as well, and is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
So if like he has a shot at, you know, decapitating Aaron Murray, he's going to go for it.
Yeah. Also, they don't really even try to run the ball. Like, I know they run the ball as a formality, and that's pretty much it. This offense rests on the arm of Kirk Cousins, and if Cousins has the kind of game he had against Ohio State or against Notre Dame, they're done. They do not compete beyond the second quarter in this game, especially because Jarvis Jones is going to be haunting his every step. And if you have not seen Jarvis Jones play, he's terrifying. He's really, like, if you want to have the pair of players to sort of just earmark and watch on both sides of the ball, watch Jarvis Jones on one side and watch Gerald Worthy on the other, because they're both going to do work today. But Aaron Murray and the Georgia offense, conservative, but also very efficient. I sort of think that Georgia wins by 10, barring outlandish circumstances ruining this game.
I think it's one of those games where I can see either team winning by 10. I don't see it being close. I don't see either team winning in a blowout either. So it's like, you know, if Michigan State plays Michigan State's game and Georgia's a little off, they win by 10. Georgia does their thing. Michigan State, you know, plays like they always do in bowl games under D'Antonio. Georgia takes it.
Yeah, I think that's your balance. By the way, your best calls of the day, we're going to go ahead and just stop shy of the Rose Bowl. We're going to do a second installment for that because there is a lot going on today and we are nearing the noon mark. What up, poor time management? But a few things should be mentioned on the calls today. Joe Tessitore. Where is Joe Tessitore? Oh, he's at Nebraska versus South Carolina. So
Means that game is going to be like 45-42.
45-42 comes down to a missed two-point conversion on a trick play by Steve Spurrier, who loses the game. We have Mike Patrick going with, I believe he's going with, who's his
Ed Cunningham?
Ed Cunningham for the Gator Bowl.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's replacing Craig James there.
The Senator.
Yeah, my lord. He needs to be our new messiah.
We gotta make a Craig James for Senate album.
Yeah, the whole album, the Craig James for Senative.
Yeah, that's gonna be our New Year's project, I think.
Okay, we should go ahead and start writing this. I want to do one Into the Wild style song since I'm all on that right now. You know,
We'll get a ukulele.
Yeah. I can with my sanative. And I do a pretty nice vetter, so we can go ahead and just knock that out. Also, on the call, we have Mike Tirico and John Gruden on the Outback Bowl. So if you're into this, guys, the Outback Bowl is totally your game to watch.
Mike Tirico comparing, you know, this Georgia offense kind of reminds me a lot of St. Louis Rams when they were clicking in the late 90s. It's like lazy mixed metaphors from the NFL.
Oh, we're going to get some of it. It'll be, in an unfortunate choice of words, we'll all be groped by the gentle touch of Mike Tirico today.
And hey, the Ticket City Bowl all-star team, Clay Matvick, who I think we've mentioned in a previous podcast, is still not really knowing who that guy is. Yeah. Danny Cannell, certainly. You're very well-versed in his work. And then Allison Williams, who I think we concluded was a U.S. softball player at one point in time. But again, there's really no way to tell.
Jessica Mendoza, who I've just heard.
You're right. Yeah, Allison Williams, though, is still one of those names. Like, it sounds like an intern at like a, you know, a congressional page program or something like that. Like, did you go to Georgetown? Did you go to Villanova? Did you go to NYU? Who cares? Your name's Allison Williams. You probably went to all three.
Yeah, exactly. And I should have mentioned this, by the way. I will be watching all of these with my brand new Christmas present from Doug and Holly, which is a gigantic number 12 Chris Leak blanket.
Oh, glorious.